is the Tactical Nutrition and Performance Podcast. I'm Susan Lopez, Tactical Dietitian, and I am here to help you elevate your performance through better nutrition programming, bridging the gap between knowledge and application to help support the athlete with no off-season. We are going to talk about everything from macros to stress to sleep and more. I will be bringing over a decade of nutrition know-how and experience and introducing you to experts in the tactical performance realm. If you are ready to take your health and performance to the next level and you need information that is relevant and right for you, then you are in the right place. Let's get the show started. Welcome to the Tactical Nutrition and Performance Podcast. I'm Susan Lopez, and today we are going to be talking about meal planning. And a lot of times when we talk about meal planning, we're also kind of talking about meal prepping. And there's a lot of misconceptions, untruths, myths, whatever you want to call them, around meal planning and meal prepping. And I want to go through them today. First of all, let me just apologize for the graininess of this video. If you're watching on YouTube, I had a few connection issues this morning with my camera, so you are getting a very emo, very gothic version of me right now. If you're listening on the podcast, don't worry about it. If you want to see the video and what it looks like, you can head over to YouTube and check it out there. I will say it is a little bit dark, but I don't hate it. All right, so let's just get into it. This isn't going to be a super long episode. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk us through three different untruths that are often said to me whenever I suggest meal planning or meal prepping. If you've been following me for some time, you know that meal planning and meal prepping is a core teaching or a core method that I use with a lot of my athletes, my clients, to help them build their nutrition routines and really help get a better understanding of nutrition. So why is this such a controversial topic sometimes? And I think it really boils down to, okay, we have to be, you know, either intuitive eating, or we have to be on the other end of the spectrum where everything's very tightly controlled, or we're managing calories and macros very closely. And it's really not okay to be in between sometimes. You have some people on one end of the spectrum who really push intuitive eating and health at every size and not weighing and measuring. And then you have other people on the other end of the spectrum who are very rigid about tracking their calories and their macros on a daily basis, who are very rigid about following their meal plans. And it can cause a lot of stress in some of these individuals when they are not on their meal plan 100% of the time. But where the magic really happens is sort of in that middle ground between the two. And where you fall on that spectrum is really going to be dictated by where you're at in your fitness and your nutrition and your performance journey, what you already know about nutrition, what your routine currently looks like, and also what goal you're trying to achieve. And we're going to talk a little bit about this today, but just to give you an idea of what that means, we have to look at, okay, if I am at the beginning of my nutrition journey, I've never really measured anything before, I really don't know anything about nutrition, and my big overall goal is to really just get in a good routine of eating, quote unquote, the right foods to be healthy or to lose weight or to perform better or whatever the case may be, then sometimes we have to look at using meal planning and measuring to start setting up that routine. Because if I don't know what 4 ounces of chicken looks like, or I don't know what 60 grams of carbohydrate looks like, but I know that I need that in my post-workout meal, let's just say, I'm not going to learn that simply by doing intuitive eating. There's a lot of individuals out there also who have a very difficult time managing their nutrition simply through visual methods alone, who are not as in tune with their hunger levels, their appetite, and their body as other people. So some of those individuals, if they're trying to understand what right for them looks like, then sometimes we have to go down the spectrum of, okay, maybe we need to have a template to follow. Maybe on occasion we need to just look at what a serving size is for us. We have to understand what our hunger signals are telling us. We eat within a certain portion size and then kind of self-assess about how we're physically feeling. Are we physically hungry? Are we physically full? Am I craving something? So we're using a little bit of objective methods and subjective self-assessment to kind of figure out where we need to be in regards to our nutrition. But that's a whole other topic that we could probably get into, and I'm kind of getting off on a tangent. So we're going to bring this back in and let's talk about these untruths around meal planning and prepping. So the first untruth is that they feel like meal planning is too rigid, that it doesn't give them enough flexibility. And again, this is really going to depend on a person's individual needs and goals as far as how much rigidity or flexibility they should really have, and their nutrition history, of course. But in general, the way that you should think about meal planning is not that it's this rigid plan that you have to follow 100% of the time, or that you have to follow perfectly in terms of your calories and your macros. But really all it is it's allowing you to be a little bit more intentional about what you're going to be doing with your nutrition over a certain course of time. When we look at research studies discussing behavior change, specifically around meal planning, particularly for people who are dealing with things like obesity, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, just really unhealthy lifestyle habits, pre-meal planning has shown to be an invaluable tool for helping them make changes to their day-to-day nutrition routine. And that's really what we need to think about, is how that can assist us change our routine if we're in a situation where our current diet is not helping us out, right? So your meal plan is really about having a template to follow. It's really about being intentional with your food choices and not necessarily striving for that perfection in energy and macros. Because the truth of it is that your macros and your nutrition, you know, it's not an exact number. If you're tracking it in MyFitnessPal and you're assuming, you know, 4 calories per gram of protein or carbohydrate, you have to remember that in reality, those foods are not exactly 4 calories per gram. And when you look at the difference from one apple to another apple, even the same kind, there's going to be some differences in the amount of grams of carbohydrate there is in there, and therefore a difference in the amount of calories that you're getting, even between the same foods, but just coming in different sittings. And I think it would be really naive to say that when the USDA tested all of these different foods and their bomb calorimeters to figure out how much calories is in each one, it would be reckless to believe that they're retesting those things very frequently. So I'll have to look up the data on it to see how frequently they retest it. But as foods within the food system change, there's a very good possibility, I would wager to guess, that some of those energy and calorie and macro distributions are a little bit different than they were 50 years ago. But when we're looking at macros, when we're learning those portion sizes, when we're creating that routine, that is really what we're striving for with a meal plan. If you're doing meal planning correctly, it should not be a huge deal for you to have to deviate from that meal plan occasionally. And especially if you're working in the tactical space, a lot of times you have to have that flexibility. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute with the next one. Meal planning should be teaching you how to also make decisions when your meal prep is not available to you. So whether that's because you forgot it at home, or because you didn't prep that day, or because you need an extra meal because you had something last minute going on and you need to choose something from out on the economy, Meal planning in a controlled environment allows you to learn how to make better decisions in an uncontrolled environment, depending on whatever resources are available to you. And that kind of leads us into the next myth or untruth about meal planning. And what I often hear from people, especially in the tactical space, is that they feel like they can't meal plan and prep because their schedule is so unpredictable. And I would argue that this is the number one time when you need to be meal prepping, especially if you have those occasions where you don't know how long you're going to be at work, you don't know when you're going to get off work, if you are being called out for an event or you're going out on a call and you don't know when you're going to come back. Having that food prepped, available, and ready for you can help you stay on track with your nutrition by making sure that you have high quality, nutrient dense food available when you need it. Again, meal planning isn't about rigidity. So maybe you had a meal planned for a certain time, even while you were on shift, but of course a call comes in, you got to go out, do your work, you don't know when you're going to get back, but that meal's still going to be there waiting for you. Versus you don't have any meal prepped, you got on a call, right? And now maybe it's late at night and the only thing available to you that's open is fast food. So what is a better option? The food that you had prepped, but you didn't get to in the time frame you thought you were going to get it to, or fast food drive-through, right? So because you didn't take the time to actually have something healthy available, regardless of the time that you're going to eat it, now you have to make a choice that you're going to potentially regret or is potentially not moving you in the direction that you want to go in terms of your health and your training. You need to avoid making those last minute stops through the drive-through or at the gas station at odd hours. And if you want to avoid doing that, then having meal prep available to you, whether it be at home or at the station or in your cooler, might be necessary. So again, I think this is really the number one time that you need to consider meal prep. And now the third thing that I often hear is that meal prep is too expensive. It takes too much time. My family won't eat it. I mean, there's a lot of things in this third one, but I felt like these all needed to be grouped together because I really didn't want to go past three, but yet I felt like these were all important. And I did a poll on Instagram earlier this week. And when I asked people, what are some of the reasons that people don't meal prep? These are the three that came up the most. So let's unpack all three of these and discuss, is it feasible? Is it possible? Are these things really true? I would argue that none of these are really accurate. And for those of you out there who are like, oh, you don't live my life, you don't know what it's like, I got picky kids. Okay, well, I'm not living your life, but I do have kids. You know, I do have a job. I do have other obligations in my life. I say I have the same roughly 24 hours in the day. I kind of hesitate to say that because the reality is we don't all have the same 24 hours in the day. But I do understand what it's like to have a family and try to meal prep and also do your job. So let's talk about why time should not be an issue. So here's my question is how much time, if you sat down and think about it, do you feel like you waste each week trying to figure out what to eat? Let's go back to that scenario I talked about in untruth number two. When you don't have any food prepped available and you're tired, maybe you're coming home from a shift, or maybe it's the weekend and you're just out with the kids, or maybe you're coming home from the kids' sports practice, right? How often have you had that discussion in the car with your kids, your spouse, yourself, and you're like, oh, it's dinner time. What are we going to feed the kids? I don't know what we're going to eat. Do you want to just stop in the grocery store and get a frozen pizza? Should we just go through the drive-through here? Oh, I think I have some chicken breast at home that I can unthaw, but then I would have to cook it. And I don't know, it's just whatever you want to do. I mean, let's just go through the drive-thru. The kids want fries anyway. I've been there totally. And even if you don't have kids or family and you're a single individual, you've probably had similar conversations with yourself after the workday. or maybe after a training session when you knew you didn't have food prepped at home. And when you're experiencing fatigue, whether it be mental fatigue or physical fatigue, decision-making fatigue, it can be really easy to just hit the easy button and go through the drive-thru. Now, if we're talking about time cooking every evening, maybe you're really good with your routine and you're cooking meals all the time. That's great. I can tell you that pretty much all of my athletes, myself included, all get their meal prep done in a couple of hours on a weekend. And for me personally, and from the feedback I've gotten from my people, is this really opens up their time during the week to spend with their family, not have to rush getting home or after sporting events. They feel like they can actually feed their kids healthy food. We're going to go into that in a minute. And they don't have to waste that precious brain power during the week to figure out what they're going to eat. And this can look a lot of different ways. So you have some individuals who are individually packing their meals, and this can be great for someone who is perhaps a single individual, or they need to take their meals to work with them outside of the family meals during the week. And then you have some individuals who enjoy the batch cooking, where essentially you're cooking up a bunch of proteins on the weekends, maybe prepping some veggies, maybe doing some starches, however you like to use it, maybe or do it. Maybe you're microwaving parboiled starches during the week. And then throughout the week, everybody can grab the protein that they like, the veggie they like, the starch they like for that dinner time. I know that that can take a lot of pressure off. Okay, what do we eat every night? And I want to make sure that we all understand that you don't always have to be buying organic, grass-fed beef, fresh fruits and vegetables every single time that you're getting ready to meal prep. Oftentimes, your frozen vegetables can be just as healthy and sometimes even more nutrient-dense than your fresh vegetables and fruit that you find on the grocery store shelf. And I know people are always surprised when I say this, but the reality is that that fruit and that vegetable, the fresh that you're finding on the supermarket shelf, has sometimes been off of its root source or where it was growing from for up to 6 months. And when you look at frozen vegetables, particularly if they're just plain, nothing added to them, oftentimes they are flash frozen near the time that they were harvested. So a lot of that nutrition is still within it. So I would argue that it's just as healthy, if not healthier, than your fresh. Now, when it comes to canned, there's nothing wrong with that either. Those vegetables are still very nutrient dense. And again, sometimes when it comes to kids, kids are going to prefer sometimes canned vegetables over the fresh or the frozen even. I'll tell you a personal story. So I eat green beans. I eat fresh green beans. However, I don't really like them. I simply eat them because I feel like I have to. Do I enjoy them more than most vegetables? No. Do I enjoy them a little bit? Yeah. But my favorite were the French cut canned green beans. I love those. I still love them. And when I was growing up as a kid, what my family would do is actually melt some Velveeta cheese and then pour them over the canned green beans for me. And I love to eat them that way. I would have multiple helpings. And you're like, oh my God, Velveeta cheese, it's not even real cheese. You know what? It doesn't really matter because I was a kid. Most kids don't like vegetables. But my parents found a way to serve them, that I enjoyed them and that I was willing to eat them. And even now as an adult, right, I still like to eat them canned. That's my favorite way to eat them. But I will definitely eat fresh. I definitely have a much more of an appreciation for vegetables than even some of the other adults that I've met. Has nothing to do with being a dietitian. Well, maybe a little bit. Don't discount the value of canned vegetables, especially now, right? If you're trying to save a buck here and there, you know, having canned or frozen vegetables available so that you don't have fresh produce going bad in your fridge is a totally valid option. One of the things you could consider is purchasing a couple of fresh vegetables to use at the beginning of the week with your meal prep. And then as the week goes on, using those canned or frozen vegetables. Again, that way, so you're not throwing money in the trash can. The other thing to think about is purchasing proteins that are a little bit more cost effective. For example, one of the things I love to do for my meal prep is to actually make whole roasting chickens. Now, one of the nice things about whole roasting chickens is they tend to be a little bit cheaper, even if you want to get the, you know, non-hormone, antibiotic, range-free, blah, 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 chickens, whatever you want to do. These tend to be cheaper per pound than getting your already cut chicken thighs or already cut chicken breasts. And that's because there's not a lot of work compared to some of that already cut, skinned, and sometimes deboned chicken that you're getting at the store. There's not a lot of work that goes into that for the manufacturer. So they don't have to take into consideration the cost of doing that when they sell it to you. The packaging also matters. I don't know if you know this or not, but you're always paying for the packaging and the amount of processing in addition to the food cost itself whenever you're buying things at the grocery store, which is why things that are packaged in bulk tend to be a little bit cheaper. So whole roasting chickens, these are great. I love to do them on the weekend. They're very low labor. I love the taste. They take very little seasoning and you can essentially throw it in the oven for 2.5 hours. That's it. You don't really have to do anything with it. You got to rotate it every now and then, make sure you temperature check it. And when it's complete, you can debone it, pull all the meat off, and you have just these mounds of meat, beautiful, delicious, juicy chicken that you can eat on through the whole week. And I'll give you another story here is I don't really like dry chicken breast. I'm kind of burnt out on it. But when I have a mix of the light meat and the dark meat from the whole roasted chicken, it's just so nice and juicy and flavorful. I love it. It's great. And then you can use it in a multitude of different ways. You can put it in dishes throughout the week. You can put it in sandwiches. You can just pull it out and reheat it with whatever sides you're going to do. So there's a lot of options here. When it comes to family and kids, one mistake that I definitely see is not including what your kids like or what your family likes in your meal prep and planning. And what do I mean by this? So a lot of times people will feel like they have to eat plain chicken breast or plain fish or just plain everything with, you know, vegetables, broccoli and rice, and that's it. No flavor. Killing me with that. That's not how it has to be. You can eat things like spaghetti, which are very family friendly, right? It's just all about portion sizing. And when you look at how Americans eat spaghetti, it's typically all noodles and then a little bit of meat and tomato sauce. And then we're probably going to put garlic bread on the side and who knows what else. When really it should be, you know, an appropriate serving size of pasta, a nice good amount of protein with our tomato sauce, as much veggies as we can handle, maybe some fruit in there, some good fresh frozen or canned vegetables. Pasta, spaghetti is a very family-friendly meal. You can do homemade burgers. You can do homemade fish tacos and get the kids involved, right? Meal prep shouldn't just be about you if you have a family. This is a great opportunity to expose your kids to fun, quote unquote, healthy foods. Talk to your kids, involve them in the process. They're going to make a huge mess in the kitchen, I'm sure, if they're younger, but it can be such a rewarding experience for everybody involved. And again, remember, we want to mimic healthy behaviors for our kids. And you should expect that they're not going to like everything. So the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics put out a research study, oh gosh, I don't know, like maybe 10 years ago now. And it really talked about how exposure to different foods is the key in getting children to be adventurous with their food. And I think on average, they said something like, and don't quote me, I might have to look this up. They said something, it takes anywhere between 16 to 21 exposures to particular types of foods just for kids to accept them. And when we're talking about exposures, I think we're actually talking about tasting the food. And if you want to get kids to actually be adventurous and taste the food, you have to expose them to it. So what we want to do with kids is we don't want to cook them completely separate meals. And having food prepped can make this a little bit easier. Exposure, exposure, exposure. And having talked with a lot of the athletes that I work with, a lot of times when we put their meal plans together, because the foods in their meal plan are so yummy, are so away from the chicken, broccoli, and rice mentality, oftentimes the families will also enjoy eating the foods. So with the family, the issue isn't necessarily that your family doesn't want to eat your meal prep. The issue really is that you're not including your family in your meal prep process and allowing them or allowing yourself really to enjoy foods that fit within your meal plan structure. Everything can be macro friendly. Everything. But that knowledge of how to structure those meal plans in a way that it can get you where you need to go in terms of your energy and your macros only comes from that practice of building your meal planning and your meal prep routine. Remember that meal planning, meal prep, it's not about exact calories and macros. Knowing those things can help provide a template for you, can help guide you during the process. But eventually, you want to be getting to a point where you really learn the art of nutrition. And what do I mean by the art of nutrition? The art of nutrition is really about, okay, how do these amounts of food affect me? How do I want to use these amount of foods to get to the goal that I'm trying to achieve, whether it be a health goal or a performance goal? And that's really where meal planning comes into practice. So hopefully today we've been able to unload some of these myths and misconceptions. And I hope that you'll be willing a little bit more to dive into the meal planning and prepping practice if you haven't. If you are a member of the Tactical Nutrition and Performance Database, remember that you have access to some custom meal planning software through your database membership. And of course, there are tons of meal plan templates, recipes, and lessons on how you can learn the art of nutrition on the Tactical Nutrition and Performance Database. So make sure you're logging in there, you're checking it out. If you're not a member, the link is in the show notes. You can check that out. Definitely worth your time if you're wanting to learn more about nutrition and performance. Each month, we have group nutrition calls where you can come in, ask questions about your programming, or anything that you have related to metabolism, supplements, sleep, stress, mindset. So don't waste that opportunity. Check it out. And if you are a member, we'll see you guys in there soon. All right, so that's it for today. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode. If you got some value out of this episode, make sure that you share it on all your social media platforms. You give us a rating, tell us how much you loved it, and we'll see you on the next episode.